Warning. The episode you are about to listen to is for entertainment purposes only. If you are easily offended and do not have a bit of a dark, quirky sense of humor, this podcast may not be for you. All opinions expressed are just for fun. Get ready for some effing and jeffing with Kate and Mark in Back to Bond. Enjoy.
Hey, Bondies.
We are begging for cash, so if you think what we do is all right...
And you want to make a little donation...
Please go to buymeacoffee.com/backtobondpodcast.
Minimum donation is $5, which is around £3.95.
Thanks, Bondies.
I've been expecting you, Mr. Barr.
Welcome to episode 15.
Yes.
Of Back to Bond podcast.
With me, Mark Gibson, and my glorious niece,
Kate Nassau.
Yeah.
Who still can't say I say her name properly after all these years.
Yeah. We are doing Whoa, oh, oh, the living daylight. Did it.
Certainly are.
Timothy Dalton's debut.
Timothy Dalton's first film.
Timothy Dalton's first Bond movie. What did you know about the Timothy Dalton era?
Until we watched it for the, well, we just call it the Bondathon.
Mm-hmm.
The 50 years of Bond at the cinema. I was just told that the Dalton ones were ones to miss.
Oh, right. I was all the way into the Bond movies. The last Bond movie I saw was Octopussy, so that would be 83. And I missed out, probably wisely, View to a Kill. Because it wasn't all that good. It wasn't a great swan song. My dad was... We really liked the Roger Moore ones. So when Dalton was saying, I'm not going to do as many quips, I'm going to make it more serious, I'm going to take it back to Fleming, I think I thought, oh, well, there'll be no fun anymore.
Yeah.
And I'd watched The Living Daylights on video, and I didn't like it.
No.
I didn't like it, but I think I was reasoning myself not to like it. And it wasn't until years later that I got the box set, and then I was thinking, oh my God, it's really good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I liked them when we watched them at the cinema.
Oh yeah, in the cinema. And it was great watching them on big screen and all that. And it was a bit like the George Lazenby one.
Yeah.
At least he got to make two of them. Because I think some of the script for Living Daylights was... written for Moore, because I thought Moore was still going to do it.
Oh, right, okay.
So the bit with the cello.
Yeah.
That was a Moore thing.
Oh.
But you can tell because the humour was a bit more broader.
Yeah.
You know, and he was going, we've got nothing to declare, and then he chucks the cello. In yeah. the end, catch the cello and all that. I mean, he played it straight down the line as an actual spy, I think.
It was very spy-y, this one.
Yes, it was. We really enjoyed it. I mean, enjoyed it again. We enjoyed the cinemas and sort of then came back and here come Timothy Dalton, a very yeah. handsome young man.
He is, yeah.
He is the epitome of tall, dark and handsome.
Yeah, like him yeah. and Pierce Brosnan.
Him and Piaz, yes, aye. Because obviously we'll get on to Piaz. I think the Piaz reputation went down a bit once Craig came in because everybody was going...
yeah.
Like, I'd go to people and they'd go, oh yeah, I love the Bond movies. Oh, shame about the Piaz Brosnan ones.
Yeah, but everyone you know? Loved Piaz Brosnan for the four films, even though the last film...
Bit few another day. There's a big announcement in the next few weeks about the Bond.
Who's going to be the new Bond?
I think so.
Oh.
My bet is on...
I think it's going to be Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
I think it's going to be Aaron Taylor-Johnson. I think it'll be really good. I've seen him in Bullet Train. He was fantastic. I saw him in Kick-Ass and he was really funny in Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass was really good. Great.
It's a good movie. He's a good actor. Played John Lennon in Norway.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen it, but he did.
It's good. He's really, really good. He's a good actor. I think he can do the fight scenes. He's going to be the first Jewish James Bond.
Yeah.
Which is always cool. Good. It's always good.
Oh, I kind of want Henry Cavill.
Do you?
Yeah, because fits the profile. Is he British?
Yeah. I think he's
sure he's British.
He's British, isn't he? I mean, he's good looking. He's funny in interviews.
I saw him as Spoilers, the bad guy in one of the Mission Impossible films.
Oh, right. Was he in Mission Impossible?
Yeah, I can't remember which one because I've seen them all now.
Yeah.
And he was very good. He was really good in that. Yeah, he had a mustache in that.
Oh, yeah. He was in a version of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., the remake.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that. I know
somebody who was an extra in that.
Oh?
Yeah. I'm not going to say it on there, though. Well, he knows who he is. But yes, he was good in that. I mean, he's very debonair.
Yeah.
He's a handsome man.
He is handsome.
He's very handsome, so he could fill the quota. They had Jim Carrey in Kick-Ass 2.
I didn't see Kick-Ass 2.
It's not that good. Jim Carrey wouldn't do publicity for it. Get this. Because he said there was too much swearing.
What? I know. Was it?
Not really. But I mean, it's Jim Carrey.
I mean, I can't remember his films being sweary films, but he is a comedian.
He is a comedian. He done a very transphobic bit in Ace Ventura.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know what I mean? Which doesn't stand up that well now, does it?
I loved that film so hard when it came out.
Yeah. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, if you're thinking.
It's 25 years old.
You should have watched it by now.
It's a really transphobic film.
It's very transphobic. Because do support trans people. You know what I mean? Because obviously.
Big up the trans community.
Big up the trans community. Although, having said that, I watched Man in the Moon. I hadn't seen it for ages.
Love that film.
Yep.
Courtney Love, what an actress.
Oh, she's really good.
She's very good in that. Actually. However, have you seen like the weird documentary that kind of goes along with that?
Yes, I watched it at yours when I was had to get the bail for school one time.
Jesus Christ.
It was crazy. It was full method.
You spoke to Andy Kaufman's daughter as Andy Kaufman.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane.
Was that Prime or Netflix?
I thought I saw it on iPlayer.
I'm sure I watched it at yours.
Oh, it was... Someone should have pulled him aside and been like, these are real people. Stop doing this.
Yeah. God, I mean, the Andy Kaufman.
And I'm all for, you know, getting right and obsessed about things.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I like it if somebody immerses themselves in the role.
But, I mean, it's called acting, darling. Oh, I know.
I mean, he done him well.
Oh, yeah.
He done it, because I remember Taxi when I grew up watching Taxi when I was a kid. It was great. He was really, really good. Andy Kaufman was crazy.
Yeah.
Like the wrestling thing.
I know, I didn't know half of that other stuff.
You know, and then he coming on in that thing where he's got the, he's going, I'm going to sing, I'm going to do the song, I'm going to do the song.
Oh, Tony Clifton.
Tony Clifton. Oh, I love the Tony Clifton thing. You know, absolute genius.
You should see Lee's impression of Tony Clifton.
It's
really good.
We might put it at the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he'd love to dust that off.
Is there any problematic things with living daylight? I can't remember.
Oh, there will be.
There'll probably be when we're...
It's because I've watched it so long ago that I can't recall. I mean, obviously, I've got a lot of notes here.
You have a lot of... She has a lot of notes. You do make a lot of notes.
7 pages.
Out of the two of them, I'm not pre-empting, but out of the two of them, Living Daylight and License to Kill, which one do you lean more towards?
Oh, I don't know, because...
From memory.
License to Kill, though, I remember it being more action than spy, and it being quite a bit outlandish.
Yeah, it's more brutal.
More over the top.
To blow a head up. It's like, you know, there's movie scanners where the head gets blown up and all that.
Because obviously I remember how Benny Del Toro dies.
Oh, he looks gorgeous. And that's like a proper...
But that's like a proper, like, weird, like, cartoon killing.
It is quite brutal.
Oh, but it's like a vengeance film, isn't it?
It's a vengeance film. It could have been what Diamonds Are Forever would have been if Lazenby had done it. Where it would have been more brutal. Because I think at that time in the 70s, they would have gone for a bit more of a brutal. Instead, you get a rather, like, camp movie with Sean Connery.
Yeah, there's no vengeance.
The do start
out is a vengeance in Diamonds Are Forever.
Let's find out where Blofeld is.
Then he finds Blofeld, and then Blofeld escapes. And then he has to do a little side mission about the diamonds.
Oh, God, half that plot makes no sense.
Yeah.
At least this, the plot is, which I'm sure you'll read in your synopsis.
Yes.
Go on then.
Timothy Dalton is suave, cunning and lethal in his debut film as super agent James Bond in this turbocharged action adventure that pulls out all the stops for excitement. Armed with razor sharp instincts, a gadget laden Aston Martin and his license to kill, Agent 007 must battle diabolical arms merchants who are united in a terrifying conspiracy for world domination that may be linked to the Soviet military high command.
Oh, yes. That would be true.
And obviously, 87, still Cold War.
Still Cold War, yes.
That wall's still up.
Oh, yes. But it's going to crumble soon.
It's going to crumble soon.
Because by the time we get out of the Dalton era and into the Brosnan, which is 6 years later, it's filmed in Russia.
Yeah, it's all over.
Yeah, we could have something like that now. We need James Bond now. Sort out Russia.
Yeah, well.
Ukraine.
World Affairs for 1987.
Go on.
Rudolf Hess dies in 1987 in the teardown Spandau prison.
Yes.
And I didn't know until I started reading this that it was DJ Robert Elms, who was a friend of
Spandau Valley. Yeah, no, I read it. It was graffiti, wasn't it? Or something.
Yeah. So the graffiti said someone wrote Rudolf Hess all alone dancing the Spandau Ballet. And that's because
sounds like one of the lyrics and all this.
I know. And that's because
gold.
The
gold.
Spandau Prison was where they put all of the Nazi war criminals who were sentenced not to death. Rudolf Hess was the last one and so dies in 87. They tear it down, but get ready because they demolish it and it's now a shopping centre called Britannica, which is locally nicknamed Hesco's.
Oh my god!
Isn't that the most amazing thing ever?
Hesco's.
Yeah.
Oh, who said the Germans didn't have a sense of
humour? I know, right? And so there we go. So Hesco's on site of Spandau prison. And they tore it down because they didn't want it to become like a Nazi monument. So that was my fun fact.
Go on.
I've got a grim fact.
What's a grimmy?
So John Landis, the director of Thriller, director of American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yeah, I love both of them.
The John Landis. In 87, he was found innocent of involuntary manslaughter of Vic Morrow, Micah Din Lee, and Renee Shun-Yi Chen. And basically, they were filming The Twilight Zone, the film.
Oh, I've heard the story.
And it was blatantly John Landis's fault because he was told previous to these three people dying that the explosions were going off too close to the helicopter.
Oh, yes, the helicopter. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he also had those two little kids, like, working off the books and at night when they shouldn't have been, like, that's it. They've got, like, child labor laws in California.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, three people got killed on the film set, but he got found innocent of involuntary manslaughter. So I'm hoping that those families got some sort of recompense.
Compensation, yeah.
Horrifying.
Oh, that's not nice.
Robert Mugabe is elected as the president of Zimbabwe. President until 2017.
Oh, God, yeah, because it was like a dictatorship.
It was like a dictatorship, but then there's two sides of the coin because people say he's a dictator.
Yeah.
But then other people think he's a revolutionary.
Potatoes, potatoes.
Yeah. Thatcher. Wins third consecutive term.
Oh yeah, she sailed through.
The Tracy Ullman show premieres. Do you remember Tracy Ullman?
I love the records. She does records. Yeah, oh no, she's great. But she does these 60s girl group records.
I remember she did Move Over Darling.
Yeah, I loved that.
Is that the one where Paul McCartney's in the video?
She don't name sunglasses. Ooh, yes. Behind. I think it's on your...
Oh, it'll be on my... There's one of my 80s playlists.
A few of them on there.
Yeah, I've never heard
good.
Of it.
She's really good. She does They Don't Know About Us and all that, which was Kirsty McCall's song.
Oh,
but it was
yeah.
made famous by Tracy Ullman.
Oh.
I love Tracy Ullman's songs.
Famously, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Oh, yeah.
With there, Reagan.
Kylie's locomotion. Oh, yes, that was true. That would be 87, yeah.
Yeah.
I should be so lucky came out the same year.
Oh, was it the same year? Taiwan ends 37 years of martial law. So
37 years?
37 years. At the time, that was the longest imposition of martial law, and that was because the Republic of China wanted Taiwan to be part of China, so they oppressed them. That's all I've wrote. They've oppressed them.
That's a lot of years.
And then we've got some good music things.
Oh, go on then, go on.
Faith is released by George Michael.
Oh, you know, I love that.
Baby!
Yeah, it's brilliant. You gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. Woo! Bad by Michael Jackson. I like Off the Wall Thriller. I do like Bad.
Yeah?
You liked Dangerous better than you, didn't you? I remember you was a big fan of Dangerous at the time.
Yeah, I like Bad as well, though.
Bad's got some good stuff on it. I mean, the singles are always top draw.
Yeah.
And I've got to be quite honest, I do have Moonwalk.
Oh, yes.
Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction. I heard that when it first came out because really into like rock, and American rock. And he brought over the cover, which was slightly problematic cover. A 1987 Prince, Sign of the Times.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, I didn't write that down. Terrible. We've got AZT was approved for AIDS and HIV treatment. So that was like
the
landmark.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was initially tested as an anti-cancer drug in the 60s. Yeah. It's an antiretrovirus.
Oh my God, yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes.
80s. I thought it was earlier than 87.
I thought it was 85.
87, according to me.
I believe you.
Have you seen Dragnet with Tom Hanks and Dan Aykroyd?
Yes.
Fucking old shite.
Yes, I haven't seen it for years, but I can remember because Dan Aykroyd was all over.
Yeah.
And so was Tom Hanks. Big. All of their movies. I watched a show that went, how problematic is Forrest Gump?
Is it problematic?
I think because of the autism thing.
Is he autistic?
Well, yeah, I didn't realise that actually either. Yes, he's autistic, isn't he?
Oh,
so he got
I thought trained. He just was... Can you say educationally subnormal now? I thought you just had a low IQ.
A low IQ. Life is like a box of chocolates.
I mean, that is true.
Technically-ish. But I always thought, life's like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're going to get. And I thought, well, actually, you do know what you're getting. Because it has the label thing, tells you the different chocolates.
That's true. Two more things, then.
Go on, then.
Bit of a downer. King's Cross Station fire kills 31 people.
Ooh, yes. This is weird because the year that happened, a few months earlier, the Pet Shop Boys done a song about King's Cross and it had the line in, it was about a disaster.
Oh.
So it was as if the
yeah.
had a premonition, ended up in King's Cross.
I believe that.
Yes.
Oh, was it Lisa Stansfield? I think it was Lisa Stansfield. Sorry, I got confused with Yaz.
Go on.
Lisa Stansfield was going to release a song and it was called Fire. And it was just, is that happened?
Oh,
so
was
that
it?
I pull it and try to release something else. Because it was just shocking timing.
Oh, it's bad timing. Impossible Princess for the year that Diana got killed was going to be Kylie Minogue's record.
And then I want to end on a final high.
Yay!
First condom adverts are shown on British TV.
Oh, yes, because of the AIDS crisis was still flourishing.
It was. So it was Mates Condoms. There were 7 different versions of the...
Oh, right.
...of the advert. So you had Chemist, Restaurant, Yes... Drinks. And then After
funny.
But they were all funny and educating.
Yeah.
And it was all about STIs. And it was trying to educate the public that condoms aren't just to prevent pregnancy. It's to prevent sexually transmitted diseases. And then obviously to prevent against HIV.
Because in the same year, it would have been that iceberg one. There's a threat that's coming for you, but you can't see it.
But they made them funny, though.
And plus, as you say now, I mean, people can live with HIV for a long, long time.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
people with HIV.
I think it's just crazy that, like, even...
You couldn't even... People wouldn't even touch them.
Oh,
or, like,
yeah.
hug them. They wouldn't kiss.
Because didn't know how to spread.
It was fired up by the right-wing British press.
Yeah.
You know, which was disgusting, where they were outing people and, you know, it was horrendous. I know a few people with HIV, it's non-traceable.
Yeah.
You know, which is great.
Which is great.
And I do hook them, you know what I mean? Petrifying at the time.
Yeah. Talking now, 2024.
Yeah.
The biggest demographic that has STDs are like the over 40s and 50s.
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
And that's because they don't use condoms because they're like, well, I can't get pregnant. I'm being through the change. And they just go around giving them all chlamydia and genital warts. I don't know what gonorrhea is. It sounds gross, though.
Gonorrhea. I always thought...
Sounds like weepy pussy.
Oh. Oh, my God, you mentioned pussy. But the...
Pussy.
Oh, God. I don't know. My dad told us this horrific story about... sexually transmitted diseases, and he said that I had a water infection. Like, he thought it was really great because he thought I'd caught the clap or something. And he goes, oh, it's all right. What it is, it's like a little metal umbrella goes out like that, and then they pull it down the penis shaft, and it goes like,
are you talking like about a penal swab?
Something like that. But anyway, the idea nearly made us vomit.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, oh, I can't go through with that. But anyway, it was a water infection.
Ah,
you know.
No penal swabs for you.
No. Go on, let's hit the movie. Opening swoop of Gibraltar. Because we go down, you see the parachute coming down. You know, the setup.
It's yeah.
Parachute land. I think,
took me a while to realise we're on Gibraltar.
The Gibraltar, because I had the monkeys on and all, didn't I?
Oh, yes.
Not the band, but the...
the macaques.
Well, we wouldn't do an accident. I'd have probably had a big shock, really. But they did probably cut their pants in some way. There's obviously, it's the big setup, isn't it? It's the story before the actual story.
Yeah.
So we see the guy shoot one of the men. You've got the rope with the climbers. But, and my favourite bit, is you see the first hint of Timothy Dalton.
Yeah. So it's like three people parachuting out. Mm-hmm. Three secret agents.
Three secret agents.
One of them's landed in a tree. So he's fucked it already.
He's always fucked, yeah. And they're doing a manoeuvre thing, aren't they?
Yeah, it's meant to be like a...
Like a war game thing.
Yeah.
But there's a baddie in the war game.
Has he parachuted out with them?
Just turns
up. Oh, he just turns up.
As I say, we'll see the Dalton. What you got?
So I've got one guy is climbing up the rock. He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
He shoots the army guy. Because they all think that it's still the exercise.
Yeah.
And he's just going round. They've all got paint.
Oh, they have the paint, the red paint, don't they? Like the paintball thing, aye. And he's going like this, and he's going, out the way! Because, like, Dalton pushes the guy out the way. And then I've got the cut the rope of the climber.
One of the army guys is shouting at the bad guy, hold on, you're dead!
Oh, yes, you're dead. That was it. You're dead.
What did you think when you first saw Timothy Dalton?
Oh, I thought it looked great.
Yeah.
Brilliant. After having the jokiness of Moa, he looked really steely.
Yeah.
And you thought, oh, well, you know, you're in good hands, aren't you? Even though there was no dialogue, you knew that it was going to be a good... You just look like James Bond straight away. Bit like Lazenby.
Yeah.
Tall, dark and handsome. So I've got jumps on the roof of the car.
Yeah, and then the bad guy shooting through the roof.
Nearly gets shot in the cock. Explosives in Jeep. Bond has fight with driver.
Oh, yeah, this was good.
All great stuff.
That was some powerful action because he manages to get into the Jeep.
Yeah.
And then they're fighting each other and then they go off the cliff.
Oh, God, I love that bit.
Whilst it's on fire.
Yeah, I love all that bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bond gets in the car. Car goes off cliff. Bond escapes with a parachute because he pulls the cord, doesn't he?
Yeah, he manages to get out the back of the Jeep as it's falling through the parachute and then the Jeep explodes.
The Jeep explodes. There's a lot of shit going on. There's a lot in it and Dalton's great.
Yeah.
And then you see the woman with the phone.
She's on a yacht.
I want to find a real man.
And then, lo and behold,
James Bond lands on her and goes, hello, my darling.
James Bond,
if you've ever heard of me.
Oh, Welsh accent, second to none. Bond.
He says the infamous Bond, James Bond.
Bond? James Bond?
Bond. I'm not going to say any comedic thing about it. She's going to make some kind of joke here. I'm going to be very serious. Because Moi would have been, look, I just dropped in. Yes. You know what I mean?
Ask and thou shalt receive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then he would have raised his eyebrow because she would have went, oh, I've got Bollinger, 1856, from some Roman general or whatever. And he didn't crack any joke.
Yeah.
Had he's bit tete-a-tete, do you think?
Yes, but because we don't know her name.
Yeah, you don't actually.
We're assuming that he shagged her, but we don't really see the pursuit and we don't know her names. And we don't see her after.
We don't see her after.
With her hair down. Go and on. All tatty. No one smokes a cigarette, so.
Hello, my dear.
Impression of a female.
No, it's supposed to be me Welsh.
All right.
Oh, shift that sheet.
Then we're gonna go into the credits.
Oh yes, credits. What do we think?
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
It was okay. You're getting towards the end of Morris Binder's time doing the credits.
Yeah.
So I think he was probably thinking, "Ooh, I think I'll have a bit of an off day for one of them at least." And he was getting on.
There was guns, there was shooting, there was water, there was ripple effects, there was beautiful women.
Yep.
Visually, it was fine.
Visually, yes. It was sung by...
Aha!
Alan Parrott. Which you were saying you were on the fence.
I love Aha. And this song's really good. I feel like it just wasn't a Bond theme, even though I really liked the song. Uh-huh. It was just a bit too mellow.
Oh, yeah, it had kind of Norwegian melancholy.
Yeah.
Morten Harker still looks good, though.
Oh, my God, he's still
handsome looking guy.
He hasn't aged.
He hasn't, actually.
He still looks really
and
good.
And the voice is still... You still hit that. Oh, still hit the
hitting voice. That high note.
Hitting them high notes.
Oh.
You know what I mean? I like it. I know what you mean. It probably was a bit too melancholic to make a Bond theme out of.
And we've just came off the back of...
Duran Duran's epic View to a Kill. Because that was better than the movie.
Yeah.
Close up of girl in champagne glass, which is similar. We've had that before. Not in real life, though, because that'd just be fucking weird. And then we'll go straight into the theatre.
Bratislava.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder where we meet Saunders.
Oh,
who becomes
yeah.
a bit of a double act with him.
Yeah.
And I like Saunders.
I like Saunders.
KGB spy Koskov is introduced fairly early. The same with Lady with Cello.
Yep, KGB look very obvious. Like,
do you want us to do the accent?
Yeah.
Koskov. Koskov. Not Costco, because that's the name of that shop, isn't it? Oh, no, it's a coffee place.
Oh, Costa is the coffee shop. Costco. Is the... American
cheap food thing.
Yeah,
you have to have a card for it.
You do. The cello girl gets noticed pretty quick by James
Bond.
Oh
yeah, she's a beauty as well, isn't she?
And then Saunders is like, keep your pants on, keep it zipped.
If you're gonna be shooting anything, it's not that. Do you like the bit with the collar on his coat?
Oh, I wrote it down.
Did you read this? Where it does the Velcro thing and all that. I like that when he's...
I love that bit where, yeah, he turns into a polo neck.
He's actually doing a bit of spying.
Yeah, I enjoyed Saunders being a real stickler for the rules.
Oh, he wasn't going to let that little rat get his...
Fanny rat.
Fanny rat. That's exactly the word I was going to use. He wasn't going to let that little fanny rat away with... fucking up the thing. Men's toilets. If you realise, though, there's a lot of the men's toilets in this movie, The Living Daylights.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's another toilet seat later on.
I've got that's a huge sniper gun, blonde cello woman, knows the KGB guy.
Yep.
The bogs.
The bogs?
Yep.
Yep, so toilets.
He's going out the toilet. KGB guy, yep. Who we're going to learn is Yogi.
Yogi Koskov. Yogi Koskov.
Oh, is that what
Koskov.
You're saying?
Koskov. Yeah, look, Yogi Koskov. Yogi Koskov. But we see the cello sniper shoots the gun. Koskov gets in the passenger seat.
Yeah, cello girl is somehow also an assassin, but...
not a very good one.
Yeah, it's just shit. And then Saunders is like, well, fucking take her out then, Bond.
Take her out.
Not for dinner.
I know. I've got a cameo. Fuck that, you fucking bastard.
He's meant to shoot her in the head.
He does. He shoots her in the hand. Shoot her, yeah, because he shoots the gun off, doesn't he, and all that.
Oh, shit, yeah, he shoots the gun.
Shoots the gun and all that, and then someone else goes, you did that on purpose.
I mean, he was right, though. She was no assassin.
She was no assassin. She's a cello player. Koskov gets in passenger seat. I've got the music is great, so I can't remember what the tune was or whatever. Oh, no, I think there was incidental music that was playing. Shoves Koskov into tube.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry, I have a pipeline to whatever the shit he says.
How many times have you done this before? This is my first. Boom.
Trans-Siberian pipeline.
Trans-Siberian pipeline. He goes straight through it. That's how we're getting through.
How did you feel about Rosica?
Oh, yes, she is in Lives and Loves of a She-Devil in the original TV show.
James Bond meets his contact, Rosica. They've got Yogi in the pipe, but how is she going to distract the security guard from the pipe pressure building up? So she goes and seduces him with her big bosoms. And then she lets him motorboat her and then zips up and leaves because she's not going to have sex with him because she's got more integrity than that. And then Yogi's putting the pipe. Oh, but then Q's there to greet him when he comes out. Oh, I do like this film. And then
no, because it goes at a great pace.
Q's taking some tablets, but I don't think that's ever going to be addressed. It's no like when he comes out of the pipe.
Oh, right, right. Aye.
Q takes some tablets. And I'm like, is that just to be like, oh, he's getting old?
Oh, like vitamins.
I don't know what he takes. Viagra.
Keeping the British end up. And I've got the thing, girl didn't know one end of a rifle from another. Whoever she was, it must have scared the living daylights out of her.
Oh, yes. Did I not write that down? Oh, my God.
I wrote it all down because I thought you'd have wrote it all down. Scared the living daylights. And obviously, that's the name of the movie.
Oh, my God. I didn't write it down. This is dreadful.
It's fine. I picked up the ball. We've got the new Money Penny.
The Office. It's like...
The Office is very high-tech.
Yeah, it's very 80s.
Very 80s.
It's super hustle bustle, open plan.
Yes.
Glass.
Oh, God, yeah, because she goes, same old Q. You know, like James goes, oh, the same old Q. And then he says to the woman he was like chatting up, and she goes, anytime you want to drop by and listen to my Barry Manilow collection.
Oh, I wrote that down.
Did you?
And then it was just like, did Moneypenny just compare Barry Manilow to classical music? There was some 80s music that was playing out of a ghetto blaster.
Oh, yes.
And it was a gun.
Yes. And the music playing was Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders.
Was it?
There's two songs. That one and If There Was a Man, which plays over the end credits.
Oh my God.
The one where, with the ghetto blaster with...
Did I even write these notes?
Oh. Not Living Daylight. It sounds very like Living Daylight's a song. It's sort of like her going, If There Was a Man. I mean, she's American, so...
She is? Oh, I like
this. Yeah, I like The Pretenders and all, actually. They've done some great records.
Did you clock that Bond smacks Moneypenny's arse as he leaves?
Oh, yeah, which is very out of character for Timothy Dalton.
I think arse slapping was still commonplace in 80s offices.
Yeah.
I think we're like to pretend that this is like a Mad Men era kind of thing of the 60s. It's like, nah, he's still being inappropriate as fuck.
Because it is very 80s, though. But it's still a hell of a lot better than View to a Kill, though.
Even though
it's the same director, doesn't it? And I think it's all the same people who've worked on it, the same writers, too.
Is it still John Glenn?
It's still John Glenn, yeah. John Glenn done loads. He done License to Kill was the last one he done. So he'd done quite a few of them.
Did we get scared by a bird? That's meant to be his trademark.
Oh, right. Whoever she was, it scared me. We've got the killer milkman.
Oh, yes. The milkman gets grotted by the bad guy.
Yeah, that was...
With headphone wires. Still using wire headphones to this day. You cannot grot anyone with those wire headphones. Those wires will snap.
No. I don't think you got anything to worry about there, mind you. Because he had a Walkman and all, didn't he? And all that.
He had a Walkman, he had some over-the-ear The fight
scenes in that was good.
It was good.
Because obviously it was all set up because he was like the henchman baddie, wasn't he, and all that.
Yeah, so the milkman gets grotted because that man's going to pretend to be the milkman, and then he goes onto the country estate where Yogi is. Do you know, like when you went into the house and Yogi sat there and they've got him like just loads of shit from Harrods?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Different kinds of cheese. And you think, oh, he just wants to indulge in some Western decadence after the USSR. And yeah, I felt a bit sorry for him. That will change.
General Gorgon gets a mention. The phrase death to spies comes up, which comes up later on.
Schmiert, Schmienom.
Schmienom, which is death to spies. Pushkin, North American Trade Convention. M leaves. Milkman kills cook. Great fight in the kitchen where he burns the face and hit on the head by a frying pan.
Oh, yeah.
It's all in milk bottle bombs.
Necros is the milkman, because you find out his name later. He's called by the butler, who tells the gate man.
Oh, yes.
He follows a spider to catch the spider.
And obviously the helicopter lands and Costco gets in the medical copter.
Oh, it's so good though, because he's been like kidnapped by the bad guy, because they think there's been like a security breach, which it has.
Why?
And it's full of smoke and everything, and then they're taking them out in the helicopter, and then that milkman guy changes his clothes into a doctor.
He does, and gets into the thing.
In reality, that would just be, excuse me, I'm a doctor, I need to get this man helicoptered out. And you would just be like, all right, okay, cool.
Yeah. He's like one of the muscular henchmen, though, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, M is real fucked off.
Yes, I've got Bond M scene. Pushkin's list has 007 on it.
Who's Pushkin again?
He's the guy with the beard.
Oh, yes. With you. I'm with you.
Pushkin. It's quite quick pace, so they were trying to establish everything very quickly.
Yeah.
The Q scene, you've got the key ring with Rule Britannia. Yeah. The stun gas. The wolf whistle. Don't do it. And all that. Key opens 90% of world's lock. And then you've got the cello girl in Bond in the scene.
Oh, yeah, I like that bit.
Oh, that bit was great. That was like proper kind of Sean Connery-esque.
That was espionage. It was really good.
So you meet Pushkin.
Yeah, we're back in Bratislava.
Pushkin's goodness. He's a very big character. Then I've got another cottage scene.
Bond takes the cello because she's left it on the tram. She's technically been kidnapped by Pushkin and put in the car. And then he takes that cello. And then, yeah, you're right, tram station bogs.
The tram goes past and you think it's just somebody in the phone box, don't work. It's all set up very good.
So he looks in the cello case in the guns in the cello case. The bullets were all blanks.
Yeah.
And we find out cello girl is called Cara.
Cara. Oh, yes.
So that's what he finds in the box.
And then you have the great car chase, don't you? As it's kind of going through.
Oh, do you know, just before the car chase, you know, when they're in like a little flat?
Oh, yeah.
And they managed to get that good time when they do like the little escape, which was awesome. Then she's like, I've got to go back for my cello. It's just like...
Because he goes, why do you have to go back for my Stratovarius?
But when they're in our little apartment, I was like really confused because tells her that Yogi's been kidnapped.
Yeah.
And then I was like, is this our dad or our lover? And obviously we find out later that it's a lover.
I don't know where this is going.
Well, I was really confused because he's older. I feel like the picture she had of him, just quite a strange photo, which made us like, oh, is that our dad? And she's helping her dad. No.
It was a lover.
Actually,
yeah, they could have just had it where she was a protege or something. You know, Yeah, but they have proteges, don't they? Because they had the ice skater in For Your Eyes Only.
Yeah, he was trying to shag her, though.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Maybe they could have just, I don't know, had, like, if the photo was, like, of them two, like, in a fucking sunset or something. Girlfriend and boyfriend. Yeah. And not like a weird, I don't know, it was like a weird official KGB photo that you had.
Costco.
So, yeah.
What did you think about the car chase?
I enjoyed the car chase.
He lasered that car. The bottom half.
Oh, I did like that bit.
That bit was good. Had rockets in it. He done the car on leg in the wooden shed. That looked spectacular.
The Philips radio was a police scanner.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. That's how they knew.
Do you remember that people used to be able to buy, like, police scanner radios? You'd, like, set it to scan through. It's basically just to be a nebby bastard.
Oh, but there was in some ways, if you had a good radio, as you say, you could pick up the police.
Yeah.
You remember?
And obviously, we had the walkie-talkies when we used to live across the road from each other.
God, yeah,
and we'd pick up the taxi drivers, which was hilarious. Yeah.
Do you remember that weird guy who, me and Lee, we used to talk on the thing and all this, and this guy went, "Oh, I'm pleased that I found you on the thing and all that," and he was like really creepy.
I do remember this because you and Lee were saying God knows what profanity to each other. Taxi driver would have been fucking tossing off in a back lane somewhere.
The guy got excited. Well, I took the batteries out after that. I just give them Lee's address, but the that was funny though. So you got the car in the one shed, brilliant, all well and good. The tires blow,
so the roof
cuts a hole in the ice in the ski on car.
And so you've said that the car like literally blasts through the lorry.
Oh god, yes, it does. I loved that bit. And then the ski down the mountain, and then we've got the nothing to declare bit because they're going on these.
Oh, yeah, so they use her cello case as a little sled with the cello as a little rudder, I guess.
Yeah, gets a little bullet thing, doesn't it? You know, she's probably thinking, fucking hell, what the fuck now?
And then we've got nothing to declare as they're going.
Oh, yeah, that is very Moore-esque. Mm. That is probably the bit where, you probably would have been thinking,
oh, I reckon the read through, there was arguments of being like, I'm not fucking reading that. John Glenn being like,
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, lovely boy.
I thought fucking Tom Jones is in the room and fucking stopped us in me tracks. not doing that, boy.
I'm not doing that, lovely boy. That's probably how he sounds. I used to have to do the bottom one because it's such a good album.
Oh, yeah. So.
And then years later, he appears in a movie with the guy from Spaced.
Simon Pegg?
Yeah, he's in Simon Pegg one. He's in...
We've got Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz.
Hot Fuzz, he's in that.
Really?
Yeah, he's in Hot Fuzz.
Oh, I've
Timothy Dalton's in Hot Fuzz as a supermarket guy in it.
Oh my god.
You'll have to check it out, man. It's great. He's really good. He's dead funny in it and all, actually, because of Gorham. I think it's sort of slightly sending up, you know, the whole thing. He's a great actor, though. He's in Doctor Who and all, actually.
Oh, hello, boyo.
Welcome to The Rock.
Oh, aye. It's nice on your Gibraltar.
Ah, this isn't Alcatraz?
No, you silly leek.
Sorry, my mistake.
We've got nothing to declare. Pushkin meets Brad Whittaker. So the other thing is a weird thing. So you've now got three people in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I thought, oh, this is juggling a bit much, mind you.
Brad Whittaker.
Brad Whittaker's American and he's got all of the kind of dictators, hasn't he?
Yes, he's got a big office, but then it's also a kind of museum. He's got loads of wax figures.
Oh, aye.
Like mannequins.
Yep.
There's one of Hitler, obviously.
Hitler's there. I wouldn't have said he was a butcher. You know, and all that kind of business.
I would have said he was a baker.
A candlestick maker. And a joker, one and all. He's a midnight. What's that one? Is it the Joker Steve Miller Band?
Oh, yeah. a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker.
I don't think that would pass off for Hitler, mind you. Although he was addicted to amphetamines, so.
No, what was that? Opiates?
Was he?
Yeah.
Was that why he was crazy?
Oh, aye. If he was alive today, he'd be on that fucking pregabalin.
Woo! Oh, God, aye. Yeah, he would be. He'd be flying. Yeah, because
he's on the spice.
I was watching a YouTube show about Scarbrand, about the guy goes around Scarbrand, goes, have a look in Scarbrand. And Hitler said that Scarbrand, big hotel in Scarbrand, the Scarbrand Grand, that would have been Hitler's base if he'd invaded.
Oh, yeah.
England. I've been to Scarbrand years ago. I quite like this. We went back later on and there was an old lady in her 70s had a lollipop in the shape of a giant phallic cock.
Oh.
You know.
In Scarborough,
she was on the bus. We managed to get where all the pensioners were on the same bus trip to Scarborough. And she had this massive cock rock. And she went, look at this, boys. She was very friendly. And it was a big stick of rock. So God knows what went on there. But anyway, Russian-Afghanistan reference. Oh, yeah. Reference to the Russian-Afghanistan war, which is very on point.
Yeah, Russia had invaded Afghanistan in 87. And I did try and learn a little bit about it, but I went down a massive wormhole.
Expelled from school for cheating, Pushkin is on to Whittaker. Pushkin knows Whittaker, doesn't he?
Oh, yes, like, because Whittaker's an arms dealer.
Yeah. And then they have a weird thing where they go to the opera. Taxi through Vienna, Lady Rose Cello, hotel, two tickets for opera.
Got Vienna, Cara and James Bond arrive in the back of a veg van.
Yeah, I did a lot of fucking operas and fucking classical music thing. You won't be out doing fucking spying. I mean, a bag of chips somewhere, you know, with a bit simpler night out.
Oh, yeah, because they go to the, I think, is the Viennese Waltz playing?
Yes.
Because they're in Vienna.
Yeah.
And they get the Viennese biscuits out.
I was just going to say. Come here, I'll give you a Viennese finger. I'll get all the Welsh thing out by the next one.
Oh, yeah. And then it's like, usual suite? No, we want one with a second bedroom. Being courteous.
Yeah. Oh, yes, he was. Yeah.
She gets a little Versace outfit. But then Yogi's poolside flirting with some ladies.
He is, yeah. That was cringy. The blonde muscle guy gets out of the water and his little pooch.
Oh, yes.
You know, there's a guy who does one of the Bond podcasts and he was quite interested in the thing. She posed the thing at that bit where he gets out of the water and all that. I wonder why. So you got Sanders at the opera. Oh, and the Prata Cafe at midnight, because that's the big thing, isn't it? Because it's all taken slightly from The Third Man, which was set in Vienna.
Oh.
Which was a Carol Reed movie. And Carol Reed... is Oliver Reed.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, because Oliver Reed went to a big posh school.
Yeah.
His family were loaded. Everybody thinks he's like an actor or the people, but Carol Reed was the one that done The Third Man, and it has the Ferris wheel in The Third Man. And obviously it has the Ferris wheel. And the way it's filmed, it looks like a homage to The Third Man.
Yeah.
Which is good, though. It's a great movie. It's very good. I haven't seen it in donkey's years, but it is very good. The milkman's there.
Yeah, so...
He's wandering past. He's looking very...
Yeah, I mean, this whole scene, it's because
Brad Whittaker.
Wants Pushkin dead for wanting his money back.
Yeah.
Even though he didn't give him the arms, so he's kind of
entitled
to his money back.
He wants his money back.
Didn't produce the goods, he wants his money back.
I want them goods. Bond kisses cello girl in Ferris.
Oh yeah, but obviously you see Saunders is fucked off that he's with the cello girl. He's with Cara.
Yeah.
And then he's gonna forego procedure and help them. And they're gonna meet at the fair.
Yes, it's a lot of tension. It's good. I like the way it's filmed. Filmed great. It's quite built up. The tension's really good. Bond kisses cello girl.
Necros is posing as a balloon salesman because he's followed them into the fair.
Oh, yeah, he has. Aye. It's all very suspenseful.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot, actually, to be quite honest. Saunders went to go in Costco and Saunders gets killed.
Oh, yeah. I thought Bond and Cara were going to shag in the Ferris wheel.
Oh, you'd have to clean the seat after. But you'd have people wanting to get back in.
But it was halted. Stop for a little while.
Tilda's.
Don't then I have to put like coats on and shit after. It's quite a big carriage.
Oh yeah, and they could have gotten a different carriage because they could have put like cleaning lady chew.
So they may or may not have shagged, but let's just say that they kissed.
They kissed. I think they kissed.
And yeah, and that's what you're saying about the find out that our cello is called the Lady Rose.
The Lady Rose, yes.
In the Connect Brad Whitaker.
Brad.
Because. Yogi gave her that cello, but it's worth $150,000.
Oh, right.
But it was Brad Whitaker that bought it. So, making the connections.
Yeah. Which you never, in Bond movies, just usually let you find your way through the plot.
Yeah.
And then you just work it out, you know what I mean? You say, oh, this happens. But actually, they did explain it. It was very good. Very good script.
Yeah, and then as you said, Saunders
is killed. I thought that was really sad.
That did suck. How does he die again?
It was an explosion.
That was it. Bloody hell, it was an explosion.
It was an explosion and all, actually. Bond squeezes that balloon, doesn't he?
Yep.
So he goes like, fuck.
Schmiert. Spienorm.
Fuck.
Is that Russian?
Oh, death to spies.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh. I think you said it all right. He squeezes the balloon in anger.
Do you like balloons?
No, I hate them. I hate the idea. I hate when they pop. You know, when you used to blow them up and they'd blow them up too much and they'd go.
Yeah.
That bit.
I was like, ooh, I wonder if Uncle Mark's frightened when he's squeezing the balloons.
Not a lady's balloon, though. Yeah, when he made a fucking huge bang and all, really, yeah. You know, like, because he went like, he was really angry. He's balloonophobic.
Mum passed down her fear of blowing up balloons because of that girl that died in bins in the 80s.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because she blew up the balloon and then let it go in her mouth and then it sucked down her throat and she fucking died.
Oh, God,
no. And that was also a story they taught at school.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you know, a relation of ours. Gets married, right? They're on the honeymoons. And she had a cap.
Uh-huh.
And there was a cap on the tooth, right? And during the night, the cap dislodged and choked her to death.
Oh, my God.
It was Auntie Emmy's daughter.
That's horrendous.
So that always reminds us of the balloon thing, you know what I mean? Because anything that involves choke and... Don't ask Gary. anything that involves choke and makes us... You know, like the idea of like...
Oh, God.
I mean, it'd be a painful way to die.
Oh.
It's like a family macabre story, isn't it?
Oh.
It's horrible. Imagine that poor woman.
Yeah, pops that balloon.
More cheerful stuff. Oh, and then we go to Tangier. Now, in Tangier's, the shot footage, which was Timothy Dalton, and it looks like he's sliding down on a magic carpet. And they thought it looked too Roger Moore.
Oh, not so, racist.
Yes. Maybe that bit too.
No, I think they were like, ooh, this is too comical. Roger
it was
Moore.
Too comical. They chopped it out. It was a good call. Because in one of the DVDs, they showed it.
Oh.
Oh, it's not good.
Oh.
It just looks daft. Because obviously it's unedited, so it's just him going down like that. And it goes like, oh, and again. I was like, I'm pleased that I did. But obviously you've got the Tangier's one. You've got Pushkin assassination scene, which isn't real.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was good. Oh, my God. The bit where, obviously, he's all fucked off with Kara because she knows who Brad is. And then he's like, right, pack up your fucking shit. We're going to Tangier.
Aye.
So... Pushkin goes into his own hotel room.
Yeah.
And then you see that woman sat there with her dressing gown, and she's holding it closed at the neck. And it's just like, oh my God, this woman's been violated. And then Bond's hiding behind the door or something because he thinks he's saying he's good time girl.
Yeah.
He explains that Spiet Spinom is being deactivated. and that Yorgi was going to get arrested for misusing funds. And then Pushkin pushes his watch panic button. Bond, like, strips the bloody girlfriend. So the bodyguard is distracted by her tits. Oh,
by the... Yes, I...
Oh, my God. It was just... it was just so, like...
Yeah.
That poor woman. That I know she's woman. Just a character, but, like... Yeah. Oh my God, it was just a bit much.
It was a bit much, Was this, do you think this was the whole idea of the toughening up bit?
I think it was the toughening and kind of like one of my fellow agents who I was almost friends with, even though he's a bit of a dickhead, has been killed.
Oh yeah, he was fucking pissed right
And
off.
Now I will stop at nothing, including being a fucking arsehole of an innocent person.
I think you should have just had a selection of balloons.
Yeah?
Just squash them balloons. Like a sort of, you know, like a worry ball or whatever.
Like a stress ball.
Stress ball, yeah. You should have just squashed multiple balloons with pictures of people on who you disliked.
Yeah. But then, obviously, you were like, that was really tense, that scene. I mean, it was gross a bit how he just, like, really violated that woman.
It was... it was, I neglect to say it was well filmed, though.
It was good, though, because then you were like, holy shit, he's going to kill him.
Oh, God, yeah. And I think that's the thing that set Dalton apart from Moir straight away, was the threat.
Yeah.
You know, because you thought he was, like, a kind of rogue. Yeah, actually, like... before Craig, really. Because, like, I was thinking about the Dalton ones were much more Craig-esque.
Yeah.
Say the Brosnans were sort of a mixture of Connery and Moir, weren't they?
Yeah.
You know, he's like that kind of guy, he's very amiable. But these, I think, were like a sort of trial run for how Craig ones would have toughened it up later on.
Like
how it would have went.
Yeah, how violent.
You know, how can we take it? Because the movies then were getting a bit more violent anyway.
Yeah.
People weren't that bothered about it being PG or anything like that.
Yeah.
They just want to get entertained, don't they? But it really showed you that he was, as you say, somebody who was on the edge.
Yeah.
You know, so
willing to do what it takes
to get the job. Yeah, to get the job done. Yeah. In my life, we've got to do this, that, and the other.
As you were saying, he gets shot, fake shot at the podium.
Oh yeah, I like that bit. I like that bit. Yeah. There's a terrible Felix Leiter bit.
There is. There's some sexy saxophone. Some ladies pick up Bond and then he tries to pay them,
the girls in it, yeah. One of the girls was in a show called Angel on BBC and I recognised her in it. I don't know who that girl was. I'm sure it was a woman called, I may be hideously wrong, but Katie Rabett, who was slightly famous because she dated Prince Andrew.
Oh.
Yes, I know, and she was overage.
Bit old for his taste.
And, but they were wasted. Their scene could have just been trimmed.
Oh, yeah.
Typical of the Bond movie, he's not used good actresses. But yeah, oh, the Felix Leiter was boring as fuck.
Yeah, they're using some kind of party yacht.
Oh, in God. Disguise. Yeah.
Is it surveillance?
Yeah, that was fucking daft. They get drugged, don't they?
Oh, yeah, so...
As he's drugged, the double vision knocks him out in Costco and Cara.
So he goes back to the hotel after speaking with Felix and the CIA have been watching Pushkin and Whittaker, so they all know what's going on. They realise that it was Bond that shot Pushkin and not Necros.
Yes.
And then Bond's back at the hotel and Cara's made him a little martini.
Have a martini, baby. Yeah, and it's drugged.
Yeah.
And so Bond has that weird thing, that weird little fuzzy feeling when he's being on acid. And
he gets kidnapped. They do the fake doctor routine again.
Oh, yes. Ah, yeah, because the fake doctor routine again. Diamonds in the ice.
Did you see? Because it's like a heart.
Oh, yeah.
In the box. And on the box in the plane, it says handle like eggs. Do you remember before when it was the nuclear, like one of the nuclear bombs and it said on the side, handle like eggs?
What was that one from? Diamonds?
No, I want to say Thunderball.
Oh, God.
That was a lot of underwater shit, wasn't it?
Shit. You're right, actually it was. It was Thunderball, handle like eggs.
Handle like eggs.
Handle and like then eggs.
It comes back, handle it comes like up, eggs.
Yeah, the diamonds and the ice and all that.
I thought that was pretty good.
Oh, I've got a line here where somebody must have said that Judy has no sweethearts.
Oh.
Which was probably a line that Bond had said to some lady. One never knows. They will land in Afghanistan greeted by Dougie from Coronation Street.
Who the fuck's Dougie from Coronation Street?
The guy that greets them when they're landing in Afghanistan.
Well, previous to that, Bond needs his key ring, and I think Kara gets him his key ring.
Oh yes, it goes on the thing. This is in the plane, isn't it?
This is in the plane.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was outrageous. Kara's being made to make the fucking coffee. Where's the apron? No. The cheap bastards. And then, but then Yogi almost going to reveal the full plan, but he does, I don't think he does.
But I think we know where it's going, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because pace-wise, it's very quick. Oh, Costco slaps Cora and all, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then we're into...
And then we're in the prison.
The prison. The cunt. I'm trying
to... Get out.
The guard's
a cunt. The guard's a cunt.
The guard isn't very nice. And obviously the wolf whistle fights in the prison.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, Cara's going to get odd.
Oh, my.
Thank God that they get the key ring.
They do the key ring thing.
Oh, and then the other prisoner, they're tossing the keys.
Oh, yes, they do. What's his name?
Cameron Shaw
is a Mujahideen, which is Afghanistan resistance.
Yeah, I wrote that.
Mujahideen.
But you have to say it in a really weird way, like Mujahideen.
Mujahideen. Afghan resistance. And because he's got the troops in the desert, hasn't he? But you know the guy, who's the guy who plays the one of the Mujahideen guy? Because that is supposedly based on Osama bin Laden.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, who is the guy that plays him? Because he's been in other things.
Art Malik.
Yes.
Art Malik, he's been in loads of stuff. He's a great actor. I think he's Shakespearean and all, actually. So, I mean, he's got, like, good acting.
Oh, yeah, he's a British-Pakistani actor. Hot shit.
Passage to India, I think he was in.
Oh, he's in True Lies.
Oh, God, yeah, True Lies.
Oh, bless him. I think throughout the 90s, he just...
He played a lot of villains.
Yeah.
He's not a villain in this one, though.
He's not.
So the urban myth was he was based on Osama bin Laden.
Oh.
But the Broccoli's, now this might be post 9/11, but the Broccoli's issued a thing saying that it wasn't based on Osama bin Laden.
Oh, that's a shame. That could have been real bang on the money. No.
Actually, do you not think they would have just said that because they wouldn't want to like go like, oh yeah, actually it's based on Osama bin Laden and all that. Because after 9/11, you know, it would have been sort of quite... Choice, wouldn't it, really?
That's true. Didn't the US not arm?
Well, they did arm them. I mean, the Russians were arming different fractions, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they armed different fractions. God, no, I would be on all day if I talked about how much the English had armed different places.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is good. I like that story. I like that twist on it. Do you know what I mean? I thought it was a good twist. And Art Malik was really great in it. Because there's a raw opium thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to be doing drugs, but for profit, to further the cause. Bonds in wagon to go into the lair. And I've got bomb on plane.
Oh, my God.
But I think I've jumped too far ahead.
You've went quite far ahead. We'll go back to Cameron Shaw's place. But James is going to go back to the airbase to stop Yogi from leaving. And then him and Kara do a kiss.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really weird. And you see tongues, but it's unnatural.
Oh yeah. I mean, probably blank that bro, actually.
But then there's a big, like, meet-up in the desert where there's, like, an exchange. Bond manages to fool all of the other people by just putting like something over his face. And then Kara wants to go and save James or help him. Cameron Shaw's just like, oh my God, we're absolutely not going to do that. And then she goes it alone, but then Cameron gets them all to help. He's like, women, let's go fucking help her.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Bond sneaks the explosives onto the plane.
Oh, yeah. We see men's arses.
Do we?
We're D, man. Of course, we're fucking D, like. Anyway, that's my Welsh accent. But the... We do, because there's a bit where they're in the showers and you see the men are naked in the showers and all that.
When's this?
I wrote that bit down, actually. I wrote it down and see the horses.
Oh.
I mean, you've seen the toilets already, so...
That's true. Natural progression.
I've got Cora in the car, Bond's driving plane.
Oh yeah, there's a whole load of fucking... This bit's like action-packed.
Oh God, it's great.
I think I was trying to write down things.
I don't think you could write down all of what happened.
Because it was just a lot of fighting, a lot of capturing, a lot of punching.
Loads of explosions. Men's bums.
Men's bums that I missed. People driving around in jeeps and in...
Oh God, I had loads of great... Oh, the horses. Yeah, the Mujahideen. The Mujahideen were there.
Shit's going down.
Yes, because Caravan goes into play and so does Blondie, who was obviously the guy.
Oh, God, yeah.
Costco gets out before the Jeep explodes. And then you've got Bond and the blonde henchman are having a fight on top of the plane.
Yeah, and then Cara's flying the plane.
She is.
Because obviously.
If she can drive a car, she can drive a plane. This is what I've heard.
Bond's meant to be trying to defuse the bomb that he has set.
Oh, yeah, because he's all the bags, he's hanging on outside, isn't he? And all the bags, yeah, and he's going where's that little ticky thing going?
The opium is in a net, and then the net's hanging out the back of the plane. And this was quite a fight because it's Necros and James Bond fighting on the rope net.
Oh, yeah, with
all of the opium.
And the bombs.
And the bomb. Is the bomb in there, though? Because I thought the bomb was still in the back.
No, it's still in the back, but we think it's in
we think it's in the net.
In the back of the net. Blondie killed.
Oh, yeah, he cuts off his own boots.
Because he cuts off the boots, doesn't he?
Yeah, because Necros is hanging on for dear life onto Bond's boots.
There's a boot quip.
What happened?
He got the boot. That's the last time I'm going to say anything funny. I'm Welsh. And,
did you like the bit where, do you know, the knife that he uses to cut out of his shoelaces still has like a little brown stain on from earlier when they were like, oh yeah, it's raw opium.
Oh God, yes, you're right. Oh,
I love a bit of continuity.
I like the bridge explosion.
Oh yeah, that
was fucking big.
Yeah, he drops the bomb on the bridge after he, I'm guessing, just stops the timer.
Oh, because he finds it and he has it last minute. He has it ticks going down. Bridge explosion, fuel out, so they have to get in the Jeep. Obviously, it lands, doesn't it? Because does it come out the back or something?
The Jeep comes out the back of the plane just as the plane is low enough to the ground, but then also explodes.
In a kind of weird thing, is the same setup as the beginning of the movie, where he comes out the parachute.
Yeah.
So it's all parachutes rescuing them. Well, I hadn't thought about that before. Brilliant ending. I did like the ending, but I thought it had ended.
Got a trademark double ender.
We have double enders. We have Whittaker's final stand.
We're back.
How
to
dare you hide behind that coward Wellington?
It's a bit of cat and mouse. We're back in Whittaker's lair. The mannequins are out. But he's also fucking about with these little army things and glass cases.
Oh, the American Civil War, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Technically, he would have won Gettysburg.
Because Whittaker has all this advanced weaponry.
Oh, God, yeah, and he's going to blow him to shit.
Yeah.
But he hasn't got a key ring with the wolf whistle.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, saucy, mate. So, no, that's the end of Whittaker. But Costco...
He finally met his Waterloo.
Oh, yeah, finally met his Waterloo. And then Costco, they send him to Siberia, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I like that bit where he's still trying to be like, oh, my God, I was kidnapped by Whittaker. Was that true about Wellington used German mercenaries to win the Napoleonic War?
I'm going to check that up. It wouldn't surprise us. You know me World War One theory? It's a big conspiracy theory which I have. But you know the lead up to World War One, England, because it's so near Germany anyway, had absolutely no intention of going to war with Germany, apart from the fact that the Daily Mail and other newspapers started putting leaflets in with the papers saying the Kaiser will kill your children to ramp up the anti-Germanic thing.
Yeah.
Because England never had a problem with Germany. My conspiracy theory was a theory that it probably didn't happen, but you know what I mean? So it may be true. I'll have a read about it. I'll check it up.
Yeah.
I do like history.
Yeah. Were you slightly disappointed that all of those mannequins didn't get used?
Oh, yeah, because it was a bit golden gunny in a way.
I thought either Whittaker was going to be hiding amongst the mannequins,
yeah,
or the mannequins were going to be like robots and were going to like also shoot James Bond or like try and shoot him. I had so many big ideas for these mannequins. And they were just mannequins.
They were just mannequins. But in the third Timothy Dalton movie, if it had got made, but they wrote the script for it, and there was going to be robots in that.
Oh.
So you might be onto something.
Wow.
You might be onto something, actually. And then we'll have Cara, and then the Mujahideen go and see her play, don't they?
Oh, I thought it was nicest.
I thought it was touching. It was lovely.
General Gogol.
General Gogol.
Ed and Gogol have joined forces to get Kara a visa.
A visa. Well, get her a visa, you know what I mean. Oh, and the, you know, the music conductor, conducting the orchestra, it was John Barry.
Oh, was it?
Yes, so he finally got a cameo in the Bond movie. It was John Barry. Kara goes into the dressing room and Bond's there.
Yep.
And then we've got the Pretenders song at the end.
Oh, yeah, there's two martinis and he's still using that stupid key ring.
Oh, the Wolf Whistle one.
I think no, because then it would explode.
Oh, no, actually.
What's he using the key ring for?
What's he using the key ring for?
Gasser. Jokes on him, just spike the martinis.
And then we'll have the If There Was a Man. And then it does the Pretenders song at the end.
Oh.
Yeah, we have finished. Jawohl.
The Living Daylights.
The Living Daylights.
How many gunshots for you?
I think it's a brave new world for Bond movies, and I'm going to give it 6.
Oh.
I did enjoy a lot. I thought it had a great pace. How many for you?
I think 6 as well.
Do you?
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's action, but there's also some actual spying.
Yeah, if there was some of it and you didn't have the pretext of the early bit, you would think some of the movie was set in the 60s.
Yeah.
Because it had like a little bit of a 60s feel about it, as well as having all the 80s references and all that. But yes, I loved it. I thought it was really good.
I thought it was very good. My favourite.
Yes.
Timothy Dalton sprained his ankle on his first day of shooting, probably doing that magic carpet ride stunt.
Who will
be the alternative Bond?
The alternative Bond. 1987. Have you got one?
I'm not for me book. I'm sure I would have wrote one down.
Danny DeVito. I'm looking at very Brat Packy.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think you're right in the middle of the Brat Pack. Who the hell is Bobcat Goldthwait?
Bobcat Goldthwait? Do you know the guy from Police Academy? And he does all the like...
Oh, him. Oh, we'll have him. Oh, there's Willem Dafoe.
Oh, I think he wouldn't be that bad.
Actually, no, Willem Dafoe. We'll go Willem Dafoe because... You had Josh Brolin before, didn't you?
No, I had James Brolin.
James Brolin.
I wouldn't want Kurt Russell. He's too much of a smart ass.
Oh, Kurt Russell. Yeah. I liked him as Santa Claus in them, the Netflix Santa Claus movies. I thought he was really good.
Oh, he was good in them,
he was
actually.
Good. I liked them. I thought they were good. I
think I'm going to go with Ted Danson.
I
like Ted Danson. Alternatively, Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah, Kevin Costner would be good. Kevin he can Costner do anything, he'd be doing anything, can't
Bodyguard. He? Bodyguard. Yeah, it is. Kevin Costner's a weird one because I always think that he's a bit of a tit. There'll be a Kevin Costner film on and I'll just sit and watch the entire thing and just be like, he's amazing.
Oh, I like Field of Dreams. It's really good.
Dances with Wolves, though.
Dances with Wolves is an amazing movie.
That's one of those ones where if that's near enough the beginning, I will not move for the duration of the film.
It's a long movie. No,
it's a really good film, though.
It's good, though. Yeah, he was a big star in the 80s going into the 90s, wasn't he? And he blotted his copybook with Waterworld, which was a huge flop.
Oh, I know.
I can remember. I was going to say, I can remember watching Waterworld, and I didn't think it was that bad.
I thought it was all right.
I didn't think it was as bad as what people said it was.
I think it's just because it costs so much to make.
Compared
to what it made.
Cost loads of money, didn't it? I'm going to go with the Bobcat. No, I'm going to go with Willem Dafoe.
Oh.
I think Willem Dafoe would be a good Bond.
I think he'd be a good Bond. Serious.
Serious.
But also, like, delirious. It's quite intense.
Oh, God, yeah. Because he was Green Goblin, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
In Spider-Man.
But Willem Dafoe's a real actor.
Oh, he's a real actor. Yeah, he's got acting chops. But the Dalton has in this, though.
That's true.
You know, I'm not going to do his Welsh accent again, but he's very good.
Timothy Dalton.
yeah. I'm stunned. Alternate Bond theme.
Oh, what would you have?
I was thinking of bands that I like in 1987, and I thought there's a Simply Red record.
Do the right thing.
Yeah, but it's got the trumpets going, you know. It sounds Bondy, you know, remember on the thing and all that. And I was thinking it because I do like Simply Red. It's I really like Simply Red. It's one of them bands, right, where you go, it's a set of people that go like, oh my God.
Oh, it's a real level 42.
Well, level 42, and I was on Tattle Life. I'll just tell the story quick.
Yeah.
It's sort of about, like, bands have people, classes, uncool. And somebody was on Tattle Life, and they wrote, oh, I have a story. My mum used to live in Richmond, which obviously is really rich. A place in London. She goes, and this guy moves in, and she goes round with a bottle of wine, and she goes, oh, it's only cheap. But, like, I thought, well, me and it's the guy moves in the huge mansion. She goes, what do you do? Because she's in her 70s and all this. She goes, what do you do as a living? And he goes, oh, I'm a musician. And she goes, like, what orchestra? And he goes, oh, no. And he goes, I'm, like, in a band. And so over the coming weeks, because they're getting on a bit, her and her husband. The daughter keeps ringing up and, how are you getting on and all this? How's your scruffy band neighbour? And she was saying about, saying, oh, I need, like, the garden done. I need, like, there's maintenance in the house, so we're going to get that done. And he went, oh, you don't bother getting it done. I'll send my maintenance guy that I have in the garden.
Yeah.
So they go there and they do, like, maintenance in a house. And the gardener does the whole thing. Like, obviously didn't charge anything and all this, right? And she was going, oh, he's lovely. Does all of, you know, the charity things, he puts, like, huge donations in, and he's helped with the house for her, and I go around and all this, and she goes, oh, well, who is he? And she went, he's the lead singer in Jamiroquai. And isn't that you know, it's like, and all that, right? But obviously she didn't know who he was, and I was seeing the guy, and I went, oh, isn't that nice?
Aww.
Like a nice look, and he said, I was reading, I was thinking, oh, that really sweet.
That's really
it's a
sweet.
Really nice thing. So he helps the old couple and all that.
Aww. I always thought the guy was a
coming dickhead. Out, yeah. coming out of pubs and beating up paparazzi.
Yeah, and yet he had his 50 cars.
Oh, well, that was the other thing. No, because the other thing, I didn't tell you the thing, because I thought the cars were rumbling. But all of the...
I thought you were going to be talking about Mick Hucknall.
It was Jamiroquai. Oh, no, actually, it could have come full. Mick Hucknall was right. Mick Hucknall! But the other thing and all is when they used to have open days, because he's got loads of vintage cars.
Yeah.
And so all the kids loved him because they'd have their pictures taking all these vintage cars and all that. But the mother was saying, oh, yeah, he's great. He's, like, really integrated in this. Like, everybody wants, like, have a picture taken. It doesn't matter what time of the day, because he goes to the corner shop and all that. And they all just get pictures taken with him and all that. And she was going, he's the most delightful neighbour I've ever had.
Aww.
And that from a rock star who would imagine would be...
You've heard it here first, Jamiroquai.
Jamiroquai is a good guy.
Jamiroquai, nice guy.
I do like the song, so...
Oh, yeah, I like
the song. I freaking can't heat is a great rock. The bass player is cute. Do you remember
the bass player?
Oh, he's not with them now, though. But he is good looking. But he's not with them now.
No.
Living Daylights.
That's what we've just done.
We're coming back for License to Kill. Whoa, oh, 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 License to Kill. Oh, actually, because Living Daylight ends on that, which is the same tune to Diamonds Are Forever. They've done a little motif in the tune. Yes, we're going to return with License to Kill.
Oh, you upset us, I didn't sing. No.
Yeah. We're going to come back with
Got a License to Kill. I'll pack this one for next week. Fucking hell, I love that song, though, Gladys Knight.
Old-fashioned telephones used to have a thing called pips, and it would go, The joke used to be Gladys Knight in the phone box, and she's very pissed off, because all she got was the pips. Because it used to be Gladys Knight and the Pips was the name of the band. No, it's a great song.
I love an 80s era joke.
I think that's about it, Ness.
Yeah.
If you've liked this episode, please tune in next time.
You can also follow us on Twitter at BackToBondPodcast and email BackToBondPodcast@gmail.com.